Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
And give them a good hand
Thanks
clap.
For
Come
joining
on.
Us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray
Glory
today's
to
message and encourage Hallelujah. Your heart and help you grow
Thank
in your walk
you,
with
Jesus.
The Lord.
Be seated
Want
in
to worship
house
with
just
us in
a few
person?
Moments.
Our services
like
are
said,
Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.
Tremendous time. I was supposed to be out there, but some things, you know, with our building and dealing with engineers and projects and stuff around here, that kind of got shifted on me. So this year I wasn't able to go out, but I'm so grateful for a team of believers and leaders that were able to do, handle, and take care of all of this. Praise God. So give them a good hand clap for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My wife, however, she didn't make it home. She flew out, you know, because I was supposed to go out and possibly deal with some other things, so I was probably not going to be here this morning. So she flew, and of course, you know, hey, praise God. We thank you. Thank God for Psalm 91. Amen. She'll be home this evening, but her flight, the plane that came in, actually hit a flock of birds, caused engine damage, and, you know, the airport she was flying out of is a tiny little, I mean, it's smaller than, you know, Merrimack or whatever, Manchester. It's a tiny little airport. So it's not easy for them to just get a plane in and out. So praise God, they caught all of that. They didn't put my wife and my daughter on that plane and put them at risk. So hallelujah, thank God for his protection. They'll be back tonight, and you know she's streaming right now. So everybody give my wife a hand clap and say, we miss you. Amen. She is disappointed. She really wanted to be here this morning because she, everything that we do, because her heart still is, because that's where we started youth and children's, and her, she's over all that. Her heart is for those departments. She wanted to be here because she is so excited, obviously, to hear these young adults and these teenagers get up and share what God's been doing. But she was there firsthand to witness all of it. So, amen. So I want to give them just a few minutes to share what they've got. Hallelujah. So give our youth leaders a good hand clap right now. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you're going to go first?
I'm not the talkative one, believe it or not. So what I first want to say on behalf of my wife and I, Pastor touched on it, is thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for caring. Thank you, what a God we serve, right? Thank you for, you know, trusting, you know, in our God, but to get these kids there, to get a touch from God, it was just like, I mean, we say it every year, it was better than last year, right? But it's true. I encourage, if you guys have any kids or even as adults, get out there, right? The night services are open to you guys, so you guys can just experience what God is doing, and not just the teens and the young adults, but us leaders, right? We got poured into, we were honored enough to sit under proven leaders, right? Proven leaders and followers of Jesus, and just what they imparted in us. I'm forever grateful, and I'm thankful that we're able to do this. And again, thank you guys for trusting in us and believing in these kids, and let's keep going.
Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad that I'm going before the teens so that I can go before I'm a mess up here. And also, I'm really glad I collected my thoughts because I feel like I could just preach this morning. And I can understand the scripture where it says it's like a fire shut up in your bones. As my husband said, thank you, everybody, so much for sowing, not just financially, but also all the snacks that you sowed. These teens can eat, I'll tell you that. And the kids were all so blessed and forever changed. And I just want to say to the teenagers, we're having them come up, right? Do you guys want to come up here now? Come on up. Come on up. Let them see your beautiful faces while we talk about you. Yeah. Yeah, let's give a hand for them. I just want to say to all the teenagers that we are so proud of you. We were, before we started our Tuesday night, we prayed and we just told you all, we encouraged all of you to step out of your comfort zone, go to the altar, just be bold. And every single one of you were so bold and so just unashamed at this conference, and all of you received. So back in April, I went to the worship conference at Dr. Barclay's church, and I just knew there would be something different about worship at Invasion. And I kept telling all the teens, just get ready, because Phil Driscoll was there, and he poured into all of us, but he really poured into the conference team. And since the conference, I have just had such an urgency for more close and personal, intimate worship with Jesus, just beholding him. And I felt the same exact draw at Invasion. Don't get me wrong, we jumped around and we beat the devil off of some people, but we had so much time of just beholding our Jesus and how awesome and how magnificent he is. And there was such a draw. The teens and all the young adults just had such a draw to do that this year. But I want to share two moments that creased my life at this conference. Thursday night, Josh prayed over all the pastor's kids. And there was a moment after that of just, you know, worshiping. And I was in my seat. Well, I was standing, but I was in my seat. And I had like a split thought. You know, a thought comes and it's like, it's faster than you can even say the thought. And I was just thinking to myself, man, you know, I've been through some, you know, mind warfare. And I'm surprised that Josh doesn't pray over the leaders. And I wasn't doing that as like, oh, he should pray over us. We're dealing with all these teenagers. It was like, I could use a refreshing in this moment. That was my heart. And then next thing I know, a moment later, Josh says, all right, I want all you teens, I want all you young adults to find your youth leaders and lay hands on them and pray. And I'm telling you, as soon as they came over and they laid their hands on me, it was like, the power of God just hit me, and I immediately started crying because if you've ever worked with the youth or the teens, or even just if you have kids of your own, you often wonder, like, are they getting it? Do they hear me? Do they know that I love them? But more importantly, do they know that God loves them? Am I showing that? And it was in that moment that it was like God was just confirming, yes, you know, I'm using them. The power of God is here. And it was such a moment that just creased my life as a leader. And it doesn't matter how young or how old, all can walk in the power and the anointing of God. It doesn't matter that they're teenagers. There's no age limit on laying hands and the power of God healing and restoring. And the second moment for me was Friday night. We all felt so strong, like even from the night before, that Friday was just going to be different, that it was going to be powerful, and that there was this urgency. And so before we went to service Friday, we all just came together and we prayed before service. And I was up at the altar. I was worshiping. I'm telling you, I was a hot mess up there. I was wrecked multiple times during worship. And I was just crying out for our teens, for the power of God, for them to feel the power, because it was so strong. And I remember I looked behind me. I was in the back of the altar, because if you've ever streamed Invasion, like, that altar is packed. It's filled, and it's filled with hot, sweaty, smelly teenagers, but we don't care and they don't care. We're all just up there, but I'm in the back, and I remember I look behind me and I see Liana in her seat, and she's got her hands lifted and she's jumping in her seat, and I just broke down again. I lost it, because I'm like, the power of God was so strong. And then I look next to me and I've got Jordan and I've got Wesley and I've got Brayden all lifting their hands, just crying out to God, and I've got Angie behind me worshiping. And then eventually they all were up there at a point, and I was just sobbing at the goodness of God, because he's just so good. And it was so powerful. And I kept thinking to myself, even if we brought 40 teenagers and only one got to experience the power and the anointing of God, it would all be worth it. The long drive, the late nights, the early mornings, the cranky teenagers, it would be worth it. But let me just tell you, these teenagers were not cranky this year. We had a good year. There was like barely any drama. I mean, it was so good. We gotta be proud of these kids. I just want to share one thing you know, we have leader sessions. That's the awesome thing, is that the teens get poured into, the young adults get poured into, but we also get poured into, and we have leadership sessions. And one thing that really stuck out to me as a leader, because of course it was geared towards youth leader, but this is something we can all grab a hold of. It was Scott Dondadu, which is the, he's the youth leader at Dr. Barclay's church, and he helps Dr. Barclay with a lot of other things as well. But this is what he said: model what you want to multiply. Model what you want to multiply. And then he said this: Judas is proof that you can play the church role and still go to hell. Now is not the time for us to play the church game. Now is time for us to be the church, to model what we want the next generation to see. And also he said this: your compromise is their permission slip. What you compromise gives the next person permission to do and compromise with the word of God. And I just thought that was so powerful. That was like, whoo, yeah, that's a check. But I just want to thank everybody again for sowing. Thank you to all of our chaperones and our leaders that came out with us. And of course, I want to say thank you to Pastor and Miss Katie for believing in us as youth leaders, but also believing in our teens and our young adults, and knowing that they are now the body of Christ. Not later, but now they're the body of Christ. Amen? All right, who's going next?
All right, mine's a little longer, so my dad said to kind of sum it up, but all right, so I was going to say at first I agree with Jordan. This year was definitely like the best year. I know we say it every year, but it really was. It was just, I don't know, there's something different about it, but it was definitely a lot different for me, because I normally every invasion I kind of go just because I'm the pastor's kid. So, but this year I actually went with a purpose. So I'm gonna give you guys a little quick backstory. So since March this year, I've struggled with a very bad depression. A lot of you don't know this about me because I'm just the outgoing, funny one that will do anything and make you guys laugh. But it was really bad. Only a few people knew about it. Just recently, over the past couple months, the depression started to grow into something more. Grew into suicide. Acts of self-harm, or thoughts of suicide, sorry. Obviously, I'm not dead, so. But acts of self-harm and even attempts to take my own life. A week before we left, I didn't tell anybody this at all, but I decided that I was going to come up with a great excuse that work needed me and I was not going to go. But something held me to go, so I decided that I would just suck it up and go. I remember sitting in the room and telling Jillian that I'm here for a purpose, that I want to live. So on night two, I believe it was, Josh Barclay called up people who were dealing with voices, cutting, and suicidal thoughts. I pushed through that crowd so fast and got right up to the front. Josh didn't even have to lay his hands on me yet, and I was already shaking and crying, and I just felt a peace come through my body. Josh made his way through the crowd, and then he laid his hands on me full force and started screaming in my face, "Live, do not die, this is forever broken." I remember in that moment, I never felt like this before in my life, but it was like I seen a tunnel. And I just seen a house with people in it, and I felt like everything was going to be okay. That night, after that, everything really started to change. I was happy, and not a fake happy. Carly can tell you this. Obviously, she's not here. But we went to Target that day, and I started telling people have a blessed day, which I ain't never done that in my life. And then I was singing praise songs in the aisles. I don't even know why, and some girl came up to me, and I just started a conversation with her about God. I've also never done that. Especially what changed is I went up with Faith and Lila and got filled with the Holy Ghost. So one thing that I've learned from Invasion 2025 is that the lies in your head that you're too far gone aren't true at all. You have to press in and truly accept Jesus into your life, and he will lift all the burdens off.
Here is what I got from Invasion. So I was dealing with the feeling that I was alone, and the devil was telling me in my head that my friends were talking. By my back, and they weren't. So something that helped me with that
was my You Choose on Thursday with Cam. It was called Lonely But Surrounded. I am going to share a couple of notes that stood out for me. He said, don't stay with the friends that tell you garbage. Helped me a lot because I had a lot of worldly friends that would tell me that believing in Jesus was boring and stupid. And stuff like that. So when he said that, that really helped me to realize that I need to cut off some people. Another thing that he said was, find your person and do not be alone in the battle. I'm telling you, do not be alone in the battle. Yeah, come on. That's what I got from Invasion. I also want to thank all the people that took time off of work to come and chaperone for us.
Good job.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to cry too. As you all probably know, I grew up in this church. I've been here my whole life. But I didn't really start my walk with God till maybe 2 years ago. I've always been a little bit overly emotional and a worrier. I got saved from depression last year at Invasion. I went up for when they called it every single year, and last year I finally left it at the altar. But when they called people up for anxiety and depression again this year, I didn't go up at first, and then Josh said worry, and it was like my feet were just moving. As you all probably know, my mom had a seizure in April of this year, and I was the one who found her. I'm not traumatized, and I'm not using this as an excuse, but a lot of worry came with that and fear. But I realized at the altar that I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to be afraid because my mom is alive and she's not going anywhere anytime soon. And it just scared me so much because me and my mom have never had a good relationship. But when I was little, I was a mommy's girl. She was home all the time. And then eventually, I don't know. I'm a brat. And I just want to thank you all, and Pastor and Katie and my youth leaders and all the leaders that came, because I wouldn't have realized that unless I went to Invasion, and you guys all sewed into that and helped me to get there. And like Pastor said, it's a conference for teens, and we don't got no money, so thank you for sewing into our trip. It was so powerful.
So before Invasion, every Invasion, I always try to make an excuse and convince myself not to go or why I shouldn't go. But if I didn't go, I wouldn't have gotten set free from suicidal thoughts or addiction. And if I didn't, press in and actually listen to what's being preached, then I wouldn't have gotten anything from it. Stacy said, sinners should envy your life. You shouldn't envy the sinner's life. Just because God has a plan for you, that doesn't mean it will happen. You have to decide if you want what God has for you. And you have to act on it and show God that you want what he has for you. I know God has a plan for me. I may not know what it is now, but I know he has a plan for me. Also, one of the sessions, Jude said, it is a sin to know what God wants you to do and not do it. You're representing Jesus, not yourself. The devil will distract you, and he will tell you lies, especially when you need him the most. Like this week, I was struggling a lot, and I needed God, and the devil was telling me lies and telling me I'm not good enough. I don't deserve him. I don't deserve to be here. But it was all a lie. I deserve to be here. I deserve God. I deserve everything he has for me. Just thank you, everyone, for sewing and for all of us to be able to go.
I'm going to share Brayden's. So hold up. Just give me your phone. Okay. All right, so this is from Brayden, if any of you guys don't know who he is. But, all right, so he said, I haven't been to church much throughout my life, and I've always questioned my faith in God. Up until these past few months, I thought I hated God because of what was going on in my life. This invasion trip was so unbelievably powerful that I've never seen or felt anything like it. I felt like a little bit of a backstory is needed. So when I first met Jillian and my dad, I didn't know what to think of them. I knew they were Christian, but it didn't matter much to me. I figured they were just Christian people. I had to grow up around, but then Jill asked me to come to church, and I said I would go just because it was what she wanted. And I'm so glad I did, because it all led up to this invasion trip. At this trip, I started to make connections with God I never thought were possible, and it brought me out of my little bubble that I've always been in. Not a lot of people know this, but I've been battling with depression, and about a month ago, I had tried to take my own life because I thought nobody would care, and I had no plan for my life. But at invasion, all of it had gone away, and I could feel that God had a plan for me when Josh Barclay laid his palm on my head and told me God would release this pain and I could leave it forever. It sent a feeling of joy and release I've never felt before, and now my faith is stronger than it's ever been.
I've been waiting for this one. I don't have anything planned. I haven't wrote anything down. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who sewed in, who prayed for us, that we would have Psalm 91 protection. Thank you so much. I am so grateful for it. I went to You Choose with Lila, Lonely But Surrounded. And it just had, like, I felt like I needed to go. And he said, humble yourself. That might not what you need to, like, you might not want to hear that when you're feeling alone, but humble yourself. Find someone, talk to someone when you feel alone. Josh Barclay did an altar call for people who were depressed and were dealing with anxiety and who felt alone. And in that moment, I did not want to go up. I had these thoughts of that I'm alone. No one knows how I feel. No one gets how I feel. No one will understand how I feel. Sorry. That I'm not worth anything. That I won't be good enough for anyone or anything in life. And I went up, and I was like, Jewel, don't cry. You better not cry. They are going to see how broken you really are. They are going to see how much you are hurting. You can't let them see how hurt you are. And then Josh Barclay just started speaking in tongues, and it hit me, and I just started bawling like crazy. And I couldn't even control it. And he laid hands over me, and I just started screaming, I'm not alone. I am not alone in this. you are not alone. If you feel lonely, if you feel like no one understands you, no one will ever get how you feel, you are not alone. God knows how you feel. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what is in your heart. You are never, ever alone. Ever alone. And Stacy in our evangelist class started talking about fire. And that there is a fire in us. And you know, I got gasoline on me. There is a fire stirring up. God is not done with me. I'm just starting. I am ready. I'm going to be at this altar. If you ever see me back there, tell me. Get up on this altar. A lot of us need that. We need that correction. Hey, are you going to go to the altar? Are you going to be there? I'll be there, girl. Like, when I don't think anybody really realizes, but when you guys text us, hey, how was your day? Oh, do you want to have coffee? Like, do you want to, like, oh, like, I saw that you at the altar crying. Like, when you guys reach out to us, and that helps us. That does something to us. You, even, like, Paris, when she's upstairs, a lot of time, it might not seem like we're listening. We might be talking. We might have our head down, but we are listening, and we are getting that in, and it does matter. It really matters. But, yeah. Something's coming to the church right now. Steph said it. She said, there is something coming. We got to be ready. We have to be on fire. We got to pour gasoline. Here, you want some gasoline? Take some gasoline. Come on.
Yeah, that was wild. I want to start off by saying thank you to everybody who sewed and prayed and everything. It was very, very helpful. I'm so grateful. And like Jess said, I think she said it, one of the reasons I didn't want to come, like I was not planning on going this year, is because I had work, and I only get like, 3 days a week? And the week of Invasion, I got 5 days and a job interview. And I was like, bruh, like, are you serious? And I talked to Miss Katie, and she was like, hey, listen, you should go because think in, like, 2-3 years, you're not going to have the chance, honestly. And so I was like, okay, like, I need to go. I'm going to go, whatever. And this year, I've gone, 9 years? Like, most of us, like, have gone, like, our whole lives. And this was the most, like, spiritually powerful one, like, I've ever been to. It was insane. Me and Jess went up to get filled with the Holy Spirit, like she said, and we got it with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that was great. And it's crazy because I've heard the Holy Spirit, like, speak to me, like, I think, you know, I don't know, but this week I've heard it so many times, like, telling me to go to people, like, I was talking to Brayden, like, JoJo, like, it was weirdest thing ever, like, I don't know, I've never experienced that before, and it was wild. And, like, everybody was so pressed in this year, like, I've never seen before. And, like, Jess, where is she? Like, I'm so proud of Jess because, last year, me and her were, like, going off the deep end. We were gone, like, I'm just so proud of everybody, and it's great. And, like Jewel said, the fire is, like, insane. Like, I don't even know. I think this is the most I've ever talked. So I just want to say thank you and bless you all. Thank you. That's all.
They had to make my kids go first. That's great. So what I was going to share, Paris kind of already shared it, but in our leader sessions, I was in with Scott, and it was your compromise becomes their permission slip. So that spoke really strongly to me because a lot of the time I come to church and it's just, well, we go to church, that's what we do. But a lot of the times I wouldn't bring my son, my little son, by the way, not this giant one, because I just felt like he was annoying people. He was loud, he was disruptive. I would let him play on his phone constantly. I just didn't want him to bug anybody. But that was me compromising, me saying, well, him annoying people, he should just stay home, which was obviously a lie. So that just spoke to me a lot, just saying, you know, it doesn't matter if he annoys people because he needs to hear the word from our pastor and from our other teachers, just like all of us do. I also allowed my daughter to become very familiar with church, where church was like, oh, yeah, it's okay if you skip, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You don't really understand it anyway. But that was also another lie. I continued to allow her to compromise coming to church with me, even though I was here. I was like, just thinking, well, she's a teenager. She doesn't really understand what pastor's talking about. And she would tell me sometimes, I don't know what he's saying. But I decided, as soon as we were at Invasion and I heard that, I said, not anymore. My daughter and my son will be here every time these doors are open, regardless. So apologize if he's annoying. and my daughter will be here as much as I possibly can get her here. And also taking away things that were distractions to them. My son will no longer have a phone. My daughter will pay attention and take notes. Even though she doesn't understand everything that pastor's preaching to her because she's young, she's only 12, she can take notes. She knows little things. She knows the scripture. So even if that's all she gets is the scripture that he says that day, that's all she really needs. So that's what spoke to me. Angie wanted me to read hers because she's scared. Go get it. So Jess wants to say something before Angie goes. One second.
Since he doesn't want to talk, I just want to shout out Jordan. You said you weren't going to talk. Bro. Well, anyway, this man, no, listen. This man was up at the altar, jumping, pushing everybody out the way, hands lifted. Yeah, he was at the end of it. He was, I don't even know, he was going crazy. I would have thought he was in the praise and worship team. He was that pressed in. I just wanted to say that because I was with him the whole time. So,
praise the Lord for Jessica Kamensky. Okay. Gotta love her. So Angelina is, we do. Angelina is my niece, if you don't really know her. She's been coming for a little bit. So this is obviously her first Invasion conference. She wanted to say, coming to this conference helped me become a better Christian by learning to respond better in all situations, because whether someone is older or younger, they're watching how you act. I want to be a role model for my younger siblings and my friends and everyone else around me. I know that my sisters definitely look up to me, and I haven't always been the best influence to them. My mind was not always in the right place, but that's how this conference really changed me. I have a new perspective on how I react to certain things that come my way, and I want to be able to show the goodness of God through how I'm acting. Who's next? Lacey?
So Jess said to me on Thursday that to press in at least one night, and I did the last two nights, and it really changed my life and my way of looking at everything. And Josh said, I forget now. He said, don't wait, because God has a plan for everyone. And thank you for everyone sewing in. And that's all I have.
Right, so I'm a little nervous. I know I sing up there, but it's a whole different thing when you're talking. So I'm going to try to keep it short. I don't want to take too much time. I was not going to go to Invasion at all. I wasn't. I couldn't go, and so I just want to say thank you. Because I was able to go, I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor. I was put on last second. I didn't have to pay for any of my food. That was all you guys sewing in, and I want to say thank you for that. It was a huge blessing. Going out, though, I was like, I'm going to just go as a chaperone. I'm going to go as one of the leaders. I am not going in those young adult sessions. It was a pride thing, I'll admit it, because I'm like, I'm going to be one of the oldest young adults in there. I feel like in times past I go and they're like, you know, you guys are on the verge of you're going to get married soon. You're going to have some kids. And the devil kept telling me, you can't go in there. You already have two kids. you're married. You're going to be the oldest one in there. Nothing's going to apply to you. So I didn't say that going out, but I said, I'm going to the chaperone meetings. That's what I want to do. First night of invasion, I'm not really a soft person. I'm not cold. I hope you don't think that, but I'm not soft. And they're playing a praise song that does not cause you to normally cry, okay? It was goodbye yesterday. And I'm up there, and I'm just crying. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's wrong with me. I said it to Paris a couple of times. We're talking in the room. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just started crying. I was seeing the teenagers up there. It just, like, was making my heart sob. And I felt so strong. I was not even at the altar at that moment. You need to go to the young adult sessions. You know, it goes up until what, 28? You need to go to the young adult sessions. And I fought it. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I don't want to go to those. I feel like it's not going to be something that I can take home because of the season of life that I'm already in with kids, with a husband. I'm already there, right? No, I'm not there. So I went in, and I can tell you every single session was exactly what I needed. It was exactly what I needed. And I want to tell you that if you are pushing through those voices that tell you to do something, put your pride down. Just go to it because God has something. And one of the things that was stirring in me going to this trip was, you got to surrender some things, daughter. And a lot of times, you know, we say, oh, Lord, I surrender all. I'll be up here singing sometimes. I surrender it all to you, Jesus. But do we really? Do we really surrender everything? Because if you have any ounce of fear or worry or you're trying to make it on your own, you're not surrendering it. And so I was in a class. I was in Kelly's class. I do not know how to say her last name. But Kelly, and she was talking about the account in Leviticus where they said, you know, there must always be a flame on the altar burning, right? And she said, obviously, that's in the Old Testament, so we're going to apply that to our life now, right? She said, in order for something to constantly be, like, having a flame, there has to be an offering, right, a sacrifice. And she said, you are that sacrifice. She said, whatever you do, it's a sacrifice to Jesus. You need to lay it all down. And then she said something, and like I said, I had been getting so strong. It's time to surrender. You got to surrender everything. Stop worrying. Stop trying to figure things out on your own. You can't do it, and you're getting in the way of what I'm trying to do. Surrender it. You know, so many times our fear gets in the way of just laying it down, right? So she said something, and it was, you know, a lot of times God is asking us to surrender it all, but the fear comes in of, you know, we want to surrender it because we want God to burn everything up, right? The refining. She said a lot of times what will stop you from surrendering is you get so scared that when God is done, that you think that thing that is so close to your heart, so dear, that it's going to get all burned up and there's going to be nothing left, right? That's the fear. That's the fear that I was getting. Well, if you surrender, it's going to tell you to walk away from some things. There's not going to be anything left. And she said one statement and it like blew off in me. It hit my heart like it felt like a punch. That's the only way I know how to explain it. And she said, when you surrender and you lay things down, when you have a full heart of surrender, a lot of times God is just telling you to trust me. Just, I'm going to refine it, just like silver and gold, right? It's taking out all the impurities of whatever that is. And when it's done, it's going to be better than it ever was, right? So don't get scared of surrender. Lay it down. Don't worry about what's going to be left when you're done. God is removing the impurities, and it's just about having a heart of surrender and trusting him. So again, I just want to say thank you. I was blessed. I'm going again next year. I don't care if I'm going to be 29 or 28. I'm going, and I will sit in those sessions, and it was just so, so good. So thank you.
I'm going to start it off right now. I didn't have any faith in this trip this year. So I'm like Jalen, I think a lot. I think about, like, everything, every bad thing. You could look at me wrong. I think I'll do something. I forgot what someone said. It was in a session. But it made me think of my dad. As you know, his addiction, right? You've heard his story, but you don't know how it affected me. This is when I started thinking the most. Thinking he started his addiction. Like, you know, my mom, they had me young. So when I always thought when I was born, he started his addiction because of me.
I always thought it was a mistake. Like, even I went last year, you know, I was fired like I am right now. But things happen, you know. Like, again, me and my mom argued. Me and my dad argued. Again, I left the house. I was with my best friend, Jesse James, for the whole day, you know. And, you know, like, even thinking about that, she wasn't texting me. The only person that was texting me was Jess. She was like, called me. She's like, you need to go back to your house now. And Jillian, too. I didn't know what to do. I was very lost. Very, very lost. And, you know, this trip, first, I want to say, like, Wesley, the last 2 days, I did not press in. You know, I went up to the altar, but I'd go back. I'd lay my head down. But I would just keep thinking that I'm too far gone. And I remember I went up to Josh. He didn't touch me, right? So I looked at my mom and said, I'm not, like, he didn't touch me, like, I'm too far gone, right? So that's when my anger comes back. I'm angry, not at Jesus, but I'm angry at myself. Thinking the whole day, and then Katie, you know, we come out, you know, we're going to the Spoon, because I can tell you right now, the Spoon food is just so good. But Katie, before I even went to Spoon, Katie came up to me, she talked to me, and she's like, so much other kids did not get touched that night. My own daughter didn't get touched that night. And yeah, so she was keep talking to me, and she said, and after she did, I felt peace. And I can tell you that night, every time I go to bed at night, I don't go to bed until like 3, 4, because I stay up thinking. I have no peace when I go to sleep. And I finally went to bed without thinking. I woke up and I was happy. And, you know, even about suicide and cutting and stuff, first of all, I would never have the strength to kill myself because I can't look at my siblings. I don't want my siblings to wake up saying, like, telling them they don't have an older brother because he killed himself. But I'm the type of person is, when I was the person, if I woke up and if I did not wake up, I would not care. And I'm also the person where I don't, like, even because of my, like, dad, like, I love him, but, like, when his addiction wasn't around till, like, I don't know, 9, right? I couldn't trust no one. Still, it's so hard for me to trust people. If you could tell me you love me, like, half of the time, my papa comes at night and he says, I love you, but I never say it back. It's not because I don't, it's because no. My dad, for the longest time, never said, I love you, so I never believed anyone. And I remember, I was thinking so bad one night, and I was on FaceTime with Angie. I hung up because it was getting so bad. And, you know, before that night, I sharpened my knife. I had my knife in my pocket. I put it up to my wrist. I was, you know, doing that. But I'm telling you right now, it was sharp. No marks were there. No marks were there. And then I put it down. And one thing, he said addiction. See, a lot of my thing, I took a lot of my anger to nicotine. I wasn't truly, like, addicted, but what I really am addicted to is music. I love music. But my mom always tells me, like, I always complain. Like, she tells me I should not listen because I like rock and roll. Like, hard rock. But she always says it's like I have to listen to more Christian music or I have to fast that music. But I also would say it's not even that bad. They're not saying anything. But she always says that it's not necessarily like the words. It's the person behind singing it. You don't know what they're dealing with, and it could come on to you. And most of my anger is coming from music. So there's one song that has like stood out to me lately, which I played on repeat for one night at Invasion. And it was kind of hard to like understand because you hear Wesley giggling under the blanket with his iPad at 3 a.m. But it's called Hard Fought Hallelujah by Brandon Lake. And I like the version with Jelly Roll. So that was good. But Jude also said, don't be God's least valuable player. So when he said that, I was thinking about, okay, I play sports. I surround myself with worldly teenagers. And all I would think about is all I see is my friends' faces every time he was saying that. And saying, what am I doing? Am I bringing them to Christ or am I leading them to hell? And I'm the one. And, you know, so I can't. So Thursday, like during the day, I know this is probably too much information. I was in the shower, laying down, praying, God, show me. I believe. Because I had no faith. So I told him, I believe. I just need you to show me tonight. And I, again, like, Bodie, I was hyped. Not to brag. He took my phone. But, again, I look up to. You know, sometimes I have conversations. Like, half of the time he doesn't know I exist, most likely. But he, like, it's funny because he grew up, like, kind of like the same way. And, like, skating. Like, I obviously skate. And he was, like, all of that. So, like, I look up to him. And one of his songs is, like, it says, I don't want to run, I don't want to hide from telling how you changed my life. And every time when he was singing that song, I don't. Because I know when I come, because right now I'm in soccer, which sucks, but, oh, stinks. But I know right when I have another captain's practice, I'm going to try my best to be more an example. And again, with Jess, what Faith said about her and Jess, you know, I don't talk to them most likely, but what Faith said to me after Thursday, because the devil kept trying to put thoughts and he kept trying to put things in my way. So there was like a group of people, like, you know, teenagers were teenagers. So they were like saying stuff at the altar. And, you know, I just walked away. And I would never do that. If you know me, if you start, I will go in your face and yell. I don't care who you are. But after that, the next day, Faith came up to me. She said, I'm proud of you. And I would never think Faith would ever come up to me and say that. But, yeah. But thank you guys for sewing. And you guys really changed everyone's life. And like, our volunteers, like, just, they're amazing. Like, give them a hand clap. Come on. But they really are. Like, they sacrifice, too. You know, some of them have kids. But most of their kids came. But you know what I mean. Like, even this week, like, yes, my mom and my dad were there. But I didn't really talk to my mom this week because she's the youth leader, so she talks to everyone. But... and I didn't want to be, like, a distraction to her. So, yeah. But thank you, guys.
That was good. Sorry, I won't go long. I just want to add a little bit. It is never too late. You've never gone too far. Honestly, don't wait also. Don't wait to get at this altar. Don't wait to know the call that God has for you. Don't wait. There's no chance, like, there's no reason not to wait. Like, why are we waiting? Why are we waiting for God to give us something? Why are we waiting for God to give us a blessing, a miracle, when he's waiting for us to just be like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm going to give you my all. I'm not going to leave a sliver of myself left to the world. I'm giving you my all. Yeah, I just want to add that. Sorry. Thank you, everyone. Love you guys. You are the best.
Hallelujah. I'm going to wrap it up for us so Pastor can preach. And I don't know if you guys can tell, but these kids' lives are changed forever. And we're just so excited because I really felt when we were out there that our church is on the edge of something big, like someone said it. And I keep telling them that we're about to see God really move in this area, and we got to be ready for it. And these kids are a big part of that. And, you know, we were believing for that Pleasant Street building, and I just really felt like it wasn't enough. What we're going to do is bigger, and we're right. We're believing for the harvest of souls. Amen. So get ready, get excited, and like they said, encourage these kids to keep going and keep that fire burning, and we're so grateful for all of you, and thank you for being an awesome church family. Thank you for supporting us, and we're all working and doing this together. We're so grateful. Thank you, Pastor, and give it a good hand for our teens. Amen. Get off the stage.
Go. All right, everybody put your seatbelts on because I got 4 hours now. Sorry. I had a message this morning, but listening to everybody up here, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 25 really quick. I do promise I'm not preaching long, so you can breathe. But I as they were talking, I was feeling this. What did I say? Hebrews? Hebrews 10:25. We all know this verse. You hear me quote it all the time. Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and that much more so as the day approaches. And, you know, that much more so day approaching is two parts. Number one, Jesus coming back for his church. Amen. But we also hear from the Apostle Paul talking about the very season of time that the world and the church would be experiencing in Thessalonians, about what that season would be right before the return of Jesus Christ. And just to simplify it, he describes and he talks about this great falling away. And that great falling away is not the world, but it's in the church. People getting hard, getting cold, turning from their God, forsaking their God, you know, chasing other things, chasing other gods, chasing money, chasing people, chasing things, chasing sports, chasing all these things that have absolutely no eternal value. It does not say that they hate God, but they're turning from God. They want to worship and serve God their own way, on their own terms, if they want to, when they want to, and how they want to. That's the season, and you and I, we're living that season right now. There's no question about that. But as they were all standing up here, this is what it kept ringing through my heart, through my spirit, is I hope you weren't just sitting out there saying, oh, come on, just get done with this. I hope you weren't saying, oh, God, kids are talking now. What on earth? Oh, great. Jewel thinks she's a preacher. She's a mini Ramona. And yes, she has preach on her and in her. There's no question about that. But every time I go to Hebrews 25, I always remind you there's a verse before that. Hebrews 24 says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and unto good works. Whether you understand what happened this morning or not, now I'll be honest with you, this morning didn't really plan out. I knew the young adults, the teenagers, the leaders would get up here. They're going to share for a few moments. A few moments. But if you listen to everything that was being said, God was speaking through them. They were saying different things and different, you know, part of their testimony is what, you know, where they were before they went and where they are right now. Some of them articulated verses, others did not, but they were sharing their testimonies. They were sharing what God did out there. And what I kept thinking about was Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another, allowing them their moment, allowing them an opportunity to stand up, because it was Jordan saying that God was dealing with them out there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. He was speaking for about like 5 minutes in there. I have no idea what he was saying. I don't know all these new terms. And it bugs me because now I'm old. The worst we had is when we had dude. Hey, dude, bro, bra, I don't get any of this. And then coming from Faith. I heard her say bro and bra a few times. I'm like, okay. May that anointing not get on the rest of us. We're still America. We still want English here. I'm not picking on. But if you listen to what Jordan was saying, he got what most adults don't get. He received out there what most adults do not get, sitting in church Sunday after Sunday, midweek after midweek. Are you leading your friends, your family, your coworkers to heaven, or are you leading them to hell? That's what you guys invested in. That's what you guys sowed into. That's part of it. It may not seem like a big deal to you right now, but that's you considering. See, when we assemble together like this, you know, some people think that when the pastor says, listen, you got to be in church, you got to be in church, you got to be in church, you're supposed to be in church, there's a reason for it. I've preached out of this many times. You know this. So I'm not going to exhaust the scriptures, exhaust our time. I just want to exhort for a few moments. That when we come together like this, there's something that God does here that he cannot do outside of here. There's something he does in here that he can't do on the other side of the camera. Thank God for the camera. But he can't do it on the other side, because it's when we assemble together, when we come together, it does something to each and every one of us. Because when you're watching on the other side of that camera versus sitting in here and seeing, these kids aren't putting on a show. If they were putting on a show, Jordan would have been up here and go, bro, brah, we had a great time, thank you, peace out. You know how I know that? Because I witnessed him do that before. Not up here, but in different places, if he was putting on a show. No, he's pouring out his heart. Some of us, as we get older, we know how to articulate things better. Some of us are still trying to figure that out. But he's just pouring out his heart, you know, trying to figure, this is where I was at, this is what I was doing, this is how I was thinking. But out there, God did. And when we start to consider one another, and this is the last part I want to bring up with this, be praying for every one of those kids. This generation of youth and young adults coming up right now, they need the church more now than ever before. It's a different season. It's a different time. You know, everything has been changed out in the world. Everything that's being peddled and preached out there is completely different than what we grew up in. You know, I say this, you know this, and everybody before me as far as age goes, we're all saying this. This is not the same America that we grew up in. This is not the same place I grew up in. This is not, you know, things, morals, issues. Nothing's the same when I was a kid that it is today. What our youth and our young adults are dealing with today, we didn't have to deal with. The issues they're facing today, we didn't have to deal with. Thank God for many of us, we grew in Christ before these issues showed up. So when they did show up, most of us didn't get knocked back. We're like, okay, this is weird, but we figured out how to deal with it. They're growing up in this. You know, I'm going to say this just age-wise. I don't get the whole, but this is a generation thing. I don't get the cutting thing. I don't get the self-harm thing. I don't get we've always had levels of. But those of us my age and older, we can all say that this is not, we didn't grow up in this. We didn't deal with this stuff. Yes, there were always some deal, sure. Depression, we didn't deal with those things. We're still the product of the greatest generation. We still had our grandparents to glean from and saw how they did things and how this generation doesn't have what we had. This is why we're so much more important today. We're dealing with the kids because they were up here today. But think about everybody else who's walking to our churches now. I think I'm the last generation where it was a normal, well, actually, I'll say it this way. I am. We are. My generation's the last generation that we remember on Sunday, everything was closed. Now, that shifted when I was still a teenager. But everything was closed except for gas stations and, convenient, grocery store. But pretty much everything else was shut down because it was Sunday. There was an understanding in this nation. That's God's day. That's where we go to church. That shifted with our generation. You know, I don't remember how they said it. One compromise is next year's ticket. I say it this way. One generation's compromise is the next generation's standard. You've heard me say that before. And that is true. That's what we're witnessing. Where our grandparents compromised, our parents became their standard. Where they compromised, it became our standard. And it as it continues, it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Consider one another. Consider one another. Now consider if you're not here. It may have been Jewel. Jewel said it. Yeah, because she was the preacher in this little group. I give her credit for using that whole, that the gas is on her. I like that. That's a car. Thank you. Praise God. That girl's been listening to me. What's that? Thank you. Thank you for not giving a shout out to all the electric vehicles and to the gas powered, hallelujah, muscle. Thank you. I lost my thought. Thank you. Way to go. If it's not Angel, no. But you get the point. Oh, consider. Now consider if you're not here. Because what she was saying is they're listening. Oh, we know. Come on. Think back when we were kids. Some of you is a little bit harder because you partied with too many of your brain cells and they're all on vacation now. But remember, even though we didn't want to hear, we were listening. They're listening. You know, I've heard my pastor say this. I've heard Josh say it, and we're a witness of it. You know, to say that we're losing this generation is a flat-out lie. To say that we got to compromise what we do in the house of God to attract our young adults is a flat-out lie. No, we don't shift. We don't compromise God's word. We keep preaching, teaching, doing what God said to do, and God keeps showing up. But we have to consider. Now, if she said that they're listening, now consider what happens when you're not here to speak. Consider what happens when you're not here to be an example and a witness. Consider what happens when you're not here when things show up, issues happen, problems arise. They're watching your example saying, okay, when you have tests, when you have trials, you quit. That's what we do. Now, they call themselves Christians. They're at the altar worshiping. They praise God. They worship. They pray in tongues. They have a Bible. They give their tithes. But they quit, so why should I bother? Consider. See, the considering's on both sides. Consider when you're here, what's your attitude? Are you mocking? Are you laughing? You ridiculing? Listen, I know. My wife says I'm old. I get it. I'm fine. I'm okay with that. I've worn the same jeans since high school. Not the same pair, same style. So just to bring clarity to that, I've worn the same type of shirt since high school. I'm comfortable. I'm not changing. I'm not wearing skinny jeans. I'm not wearing baggy jeans. You don't want to see that anyways. I'm not trying to appease a bunch of people, a group of people, by my appearance, my look. I'm not changing in any of that. We're not changing the house of God to appease a whole bunch of sinners and pagans who don't even want our God. But if you haven't figured it out yet, they're hungry for the authentic. They want the real. They're looking for the real. They're looking for the real presence of God. Now, you and I are not going to reach this generation if we're just going by appearance. So praise God for Jordan. I'm not picking on. He's got his mushroom hair. Granted, Pastor Kerry would have loved that. He's got a little fro going. He's not wearing the fanny pack around the waist. He's got it over his shoulder. I don't get all the rings. but his generation does. But if we can get the fire of God inside of him, and he's not going to compromise just because of an appearance thing, and that's just a style thing of the day, but he takes the presence of God, where is he, and he's conscious of, am I leading them to hell or am I leading them to heaven? Amen. Consider. Your witness, your attitude, your prayers, your sowing, all of that. Consider. Consider what you're doing in this very hour. Considering who you're reaching in this very hour. Consider what happens if you don't do. Well, somebody else will do. What if they don't? What if God put that on you? What if God put that anointing on you to be able to do that? Consider. Now consider this too. You know our kids. You know our young adults. You see them every week. You see them every service. Consider taking some time, not just when you're here. Consider taking a few moments each and every day saying, Lord, they had an encounter with you. May they not lose it. May I be an encouragement and strength to them. May I help them. May I be a witness. May when they see me in church, they're not going, oh, God, it's... But praise God. I get to see Miss Ramona today. I get to see Dan Arsenal today. I get to see whoever it is today that's going to encourage, build up, and strengthen. Amen? We've always got to be considering. Not one of us can do everything. Have you figured that out? And God never expected every one of us to do everything. But collectively, when we assemble together, it's amazing what we can get done. Amen. You know, we sent about 20 people out. They couldn't pay for that. You know, they paid their registration. They did. We sent them out. You sowed into their future. Amen. Oh, I know where I was going. When I said that she said about the whole gas thing, when they're listening. That lie, Jillian brought this up, that lie that, well, my kids don't understand, that's a flat-out lie, yes. But two, don't be so discouraged about your kids not understanding. Half the adults don't understand what I say either. It's because they don't want it. They don't want to get, well, I've heard this, I know this. Oh, okay, well, then just... So don't ever buy that lie. We proved it through COVID. When we couldn't have our nurseries and our Sunday schools and everybody was down here, it's amazing. Everybody was quiet. Everybody was well-behaved. The kids, the young adults. It's amazing. Everybody. Even the little squawkers. There was hardly any squawking. You know, you do realize, like, children's church, nurseries, that's kind of a newer thing in the body of Christ in the last, you know, 40, 50 years. Before, it used to be, we all went to church and everybody sat together. Period. I don't think we need to get back that way because we see, we do. We need our youth. We need our, you know, this place where our kids can go. They can sit under the pastor. That's why we keep them down. Today's a little different, obviously, but we normally keep them down the first Sunday of the month, Communion Sunday, so I can speak into their lives. But that's why we have anointed youth leaders, because they can pull away for a few moments and that those youth leaders can speak into them on a different level. They're not changing the message. They're not compromising the message. You're just on a different level. It's not making it more palatable. It's making it more digestible. Amen. How many have ever had little children that you raised and you had to feed? Yeah. We look at the jars that we're given and I go, oh my God. Good thing it's you and not me. Eat up. Why? Because they need it. And even when they spit it out, what do? We put it back in. I don't know, but I think that might be abuse. I mean, where everything, you can't even look at somebody today and it's toxic, it's abusive. I'm pretty sure that would fit in there. Yeah, you don't like those peas, take those peas, put them back in. Now consider your pastor. That's what I have to do every service. You eat your stinking peas right now. See, when we start to consider, and we start to look and step back on everything, we start to realize, wait a minute, we can't do this without God. Because how on earth would we get a collection of people like this? Now, you may think everybody in here is the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're looking at. You don't see what I see. But you did see that up here. And it has nothing to do with the complexion or the color of their skin. It's just personalities, attitudes, backgrounds. You know, and to think that, you know, the lie of the enemy that's speaking to our kids just like he speaks to adults. You know, that the greatest lie is you're alone. You're the only one. Nobody else is going through this. You know, some people look at us, oh, you're the pastor. You have no idea what we're going through. You're an idiot. Stick around for a little while. You'll find out that pastors aren't exempt from anything in this life. We go through the same stuff just like you. Sometimes, and this isn't a comparison, sometimes it's worse. Because you get to live yours and go through yours in private. We don't. I'm proud of my daughter to stand up here today. Amen. Good Lord. Pray for me, please. So, consider one another. Consider. But we got to be, you know, last time I'm going to say it, we got to be praying for our kids. We got to be standing the gap for. We've got to be encouraging. We got to be, you know, lifting up. We got to be, you know, one of them said it, you know, just saying something nice. It may have been Jewel. I mean, Jewel was preaching. She was on fire. Granted, she was covered with gas, but she was on fire. So they are listening. It's amazing what one word, what it does to somebody. The anointing that can be on it, that could change, shift, you know. Jordan said it about sitting at the spoon. If you didn't get everything because of all the different words he was throwing in there, that doesn't fit our, actually any language. But anyways, that's their little, you know, kind of semi little restaurant, fast food deal that they have out there. And yeah, Josh is preaching inside, but it was your pastor's wife that was just encouraging for a few moments. Because the lie is, well, God skipped over you. And she's like, no, God didn't skip over anybody. He's working on you. Just because you were in that moment, you were there, God's already working on you. Just like sitting in church today. Well, it was a youth day. If you told me it was a youth day, I would have taken the day off and gone fishing or something. No, there was an anointing on this. There were little nuggets in everything that they were saying that if you were paying attention to it, maybe not everything they were saying, but if you were paying attention to the spirit that was in the room, the anointing that was in the room, God was ministering not just to them up here, but to people sitting out there, considering to allow them space to grow, to speak. You know, somebody said it, maybe Paris. They're not, or Steph, one of them, they're not the future church. I'm paraphrasing what they said. They're not the future church. They're part of our church right now. Just like those kids up in the nursery, they're not our future church. They're our church right now. Amen? We got to allow them space to grow. We got to allow them a space to step out and share. I'm grateful I didn't have to come up and rip the mic out of Jordan's hand. He corrected himself. He may have glanced over and saw me. But he adjusted himself. We need to allow place to grow. Amen. And you're never going to grow sitting in a pew. You're never going to grow sitting in the back. You only grow when you're allowed an opportunity, in this case, just to simply share. If they can't share here among the people who are supposed to be praying for them, what makes you think they're going to share with their friends? Consider one another. Amen. Consider one another. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, when we come back, I'm going to go back to the actual message that I had today. Praise God. But in Ephesians 4, I do want to end with this. We've been talking about, because we've been dealing with the miracles of Jesus Christ, and we've been dealing with Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, more so verses 4 and 7, you know, before we get to the fivefold ministry gifts, we do see that there's a part that you and I have to play in that, drawing from the anointing. When we learn how to draw from the anointing, whatever's going on in the service, thank God, you know, that the service is not always the same. Jillian said it. She taught her daughter to become familiar with church. Now, that's not just a parent with a child thing. Adults do that too. Well, it's church. It starts at 10 o'clock. Oh, it's 10:03. What's going on? Oh, my Lord, everything's falling apart. They're 2 minutes late. All right, good. Praise God. It started. Three songs, maybe a fourth. Then pastor gets up for 15 minutes and talks about money. No, no, and no. But that's how people, they get so familiar with. All right, pastor gets up. All right. Oh, no, we have guest speakers. We've got guest people up there. Oh, no, that means pastor's going to get up afterwards and preach for an hour and a half on top of all of this. Because I need to be out at 11:45. Because if not, Big Daddy Bass, somebody else is going to catch him. What are you saying, pastor? Even adults get so familiar with church, it's got to be, got to be, got to be, got to be. And when we get so familiar with church and it's got to be, we stop drawing from. Because we're expecting, okay, this will end now and then we'll shift into something else. No, we trust God. Now, I did. I had a whole message I was going to preach this morning. I was excited to preach it. I stayed up late and prepared for it. And you'll never know what it was. Unless you come back on Tuesday night. Amen. God can do more in 5 minutes than we could ever do in 4 hours. That's why we just trust God. And God meets everybody where they're at. And we just got to learn how to draw from the anointing, draw from the gifts. And whether you believe it or not, today, this was a gift. To allow these young adults, these teenagers, to get up and share some of their testimony, some of their heart. You witnessed it. Some of them are preachers. And, so there. I have some things I want to say, but I don't want to start a fight, so we'll just leave it there. We got to consider one another. And this is where it starts. Once you leave here, you still consider one another. All right, pastor mentioned midweek. What's that message going to be? Well, if you start considering people, you're going to start saying, you know what, I got to remind some people, hey, midweek service, I haven't seen you in a while. Pastor's got a hot message. He said that we need to be there for it. You need to be there for it. Considering one another. Amen. Praying for one another. Encouraging one another. Amen. Praying for one another. Doing all the things that God told us to do, anointed us to do, appointed us to do. Consider one another. Amen. Considering one another. Looking at the best of. Not getting distracted because they have a moment. Considering one another, you know, so-and-so, you know, I love them, but, you know, they, you know, I don't know what their deal was. They mouthed off the other day. All right, well, have you considered maybe they were having a bad day? Could you consider maybe their hamster got loose and somebody ran it over? We don't know what people are going through. If you start considering, instead of judging and getting all mouthy and causing issues and problems, you start to say, Lord, I don't know what they're dealing with, right? That's not their character. I'm not going to be offended with this. I'm going to pray for them right now. Consider one another. Amen? Amen. Say it right now. I'm going to consider one another. Now say it like you mean it. Amen. Stand to your feet. I was going to say this evening, but stand to your feet this morning. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.